Today, we're going to be considering this amazing subject, you know, the season of total recovery. That's right. Total recovery. You know, that means that everything that once was lost or derailed, we get it back. You get it back. And there is every time we do these rooms, and I also believe that, you know, as a matter of fact, every time the children of God gather together, not just this room, you know, anytime you gather together in a real atmosphere of worship, you know, that there is a special anointing that God brings. And all we need to do is tap into it. And you know, the Bible is so amazing. It's a living book. And his word, as we know, is eternal. So that living book means you can read it today, read something today, and it be a blessing to you. You can read it again some other time, and it will still be a blessing to you. Glory to God. And sometime again, you can read it, and it will still be as if, oh my goodness, you know, I thought I read that before. And you can continually draw out new and fresh things as long as you are a worthy seeker and you are a loving inquirer. So the Lord, you know, always giving us fresh things. As a matter of fact, you know, the Lord says, you know, behold, I will do a new thing and shall ye not know it? You know, I shall even declare it and it will spring forth and you consider it. You know, in the day that the Lord will do it, things that not only the things that he has done before, he can do that again too, but also he can do new things. You know, so every time we come together, let's have an expectation of what the Lord is going to do. We see that even in the Bible, there's some stories where, you know, Peter and John going into the temple, the man that was begging for something from them in Acts chapter 3, you know, and they said, look on us, you know, so look on us, you know, that means, you know, focus. And the man expecting to receive something, you know, because once they got his attention like that, you know, expecting to receive something. And you say, well, you can't really give what you don't have. So Peter said, well, you know, silver and gold, I mean, if I had it, I would give it to you, but I don't have that. But I have it, something that I can give you. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, you know, I can only also share what I have. So, you know, I pray often, you know, when I speak to God's people, you know, and you know, a long time ago, I'm just easing myself into this. You know, I'm waiting for the moving of that staring on the top of the mulberry trees. That's right. You know, now, a long time ago, when I started coming to ministry and I was always speaking and so forth, as a young man, you know, maybe 20 years old or so was when I started, many years ago. And the Lord told me one day, as I was praying and preparing to go and speak, and the Lord said, look, just because you're the one that has the mic doesn't mean you are any better than the people you are speaking to. You know, so you're just my voice for that hour. That's it. And say, better keep yourself humble. You know, each time you go before the people, because you're going before my bride. Ooh, my goodness. And that thing has kept me. You know, and I always wanted, you know, to be sure if I'm going to be his voice, all I want to be is a microphone. I don't want to be an interpreter. No. I want to just relay what he's saying, you know. An interpreter, he may say, put some words in there that he never said. Or drop something out that he said. You never know. You know. You never know what the interpreter said. You know. I mean, what the preacher said. if you're speaking in an unknown language to you, and the interpreter is the one that is interpreting to you, you can never really tell whether he's saying it correctly or not. But it was just a microphone. You know that you're hearing exactly what he's saying. So I pray, Lord, today, let me be a channel for the voice of God to say exactly what you are saying to the people. Glory to God. And we're going to start here at the, I'm going to read a story first of all for us in Ezekiel. If you want to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 12, and we're going to be praying. Now remember, it's also a prayer room. You know, the enemy, once he attacks your prayer life, then that's it. He's got you beat. So we want to make sure that we get our prayer fire on. That's what this is all about. Jesus told the disciples, watch with me for an hour. And they didn't. They slept. You know, and those were the three closest ones. You know, and they slept. And he came back again, and they were still sleeping. I came back yet again, and they were still sleeping. And he said to them, look, pray lest you enter into temptation. You know, they didn't pray when they should have been praying. Their eyes were heavy with sleep. They slept. And of course, every one of them deserted Christ, denied him, did all kinds of things because they did not pray. You know, so once we are not praying, you know, we open our portal for the devil to take advantage. You know, so we got to plug all the holes, any loophole that the devil wants to sneak in through, we got to plug him. And the best way to do that is through prayer. And while you are in prayer, God will reveal to you many things that you should pray about and things that you should even be thanking him for and praising him for and so on. So today's story is taken from, well, not really a story. Today's lesson is taken from Ezekiel chapter 12. And I'm going to read from verses 21 through about 28. Now, this is God charging and speaking directly, you know, to his people. You know, because of the posture that they have had and the way that God has seen them, you know, things they've been talking and the way they've been behaving and so forth like that, and the discouragement, you know, and so forth among them. So the Lord, he gave Ezekiel this commandment to speak to them. Ezekiel 12 and 21, reading from King James. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, what is that proverb that ye have heard in the land of Israel, saying that days are prolonged, you know, and every vision faileth? So these people are just weary, you know. The promises don't seem to be coming to pass. The days are prolonged. The people are discouraged. You know, they're saying, look, the vision failed. Nothing is going on here. And they're saying it. So the Lord heard it. And the Lord hears these things. Whether we speak in our mouth or speak in our hearts. You know, our hearts are open before him with whom we have to do. So he sees everything and he hears everything. And the Lord said, tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will make this proverb to cease. And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them that days are at hand. And that's a special season that he's calling for. And the effect of every vision and every word that the Lord already told you, you know, everything that you believe in God for, the Bible says the days are at hand. For there shall be no more any vain vision, no flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. Listen to this. There are two key verses that I will be focusing on in this text, 25 and 28. Now, so this is 25. For I am the Lord. I will speak and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. For in your days, he called them out, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, said the Lord. Well, we don't want to be called a rebellious house. You know, I should say, in your days, O ye child of God, or children of God, or saints of the Most High God, in your days have I spoken the word, and I also will perform. God has spoken many things to us. Again, the word of the Lord said unto me, saying, Son of man, behold the house of Israel. They say the vision that he has seen is for many days to come. He prophesies of times that are far off. You know, people are always doing that. You know, we're always talking about, you know, great things that the Lord has done in the past and great things that he's going to do in the future. But what about right now? So therefore say unto them, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. So let's focus on that for a minute. There shall none of my words be prolonged anymore, but the words that I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord. So we are focusing on that this morning. Glory to God. Now, let's read another story here as we begin to get into this subject. Multiple stories in the Bible about total recovery. I love the stories of David. We'll start with that one. And this one is in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we're going to read a story from the first 8 or so verses of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And then I'll jump to maybe verse 17 and then read to about verse 20. You know, so let's read 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I start at verse 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag. I mean, they've been pursuing the Philistines and everything. You know, they were fighting, fighting among them, not really pursuing. But that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and had smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire. You know, so, you know, there were many things that happened in the day of David. I mean, in his story, you know. So there was a time, you know, that he went and, you know, he went and into the land of the Philistines, tried to join himself to them and so on and so forth. Because, you know, Saul was always chasing him and everything. You know, but, you know, there were some people that joined themselves to David. In any case, as we pick up this story, David camped at Ziklag for a while with some of his men. But they had gone, you know, to, you know, do some fighting. By the time they came back, you know, the Amalekites had come, burnt Ziklag with fire, taking the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, they didn't slay anybody, either great or small, but they carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And David and all the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters, because, you know, look, they were following David. And in fact, all the disgruntled people of the land, they joined themselves to David because they saw David as a captain, you know, and so on and so forth, you know, but, and they followed him. If you say, well, we're going to go fight over here and go support these people, they followed him. And now, while they followed him, they lost everything. You know, came back, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everything was gone. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I love that about David. He encouraged himself. You know, some of his encouragements you can read throughout the Psalms. You can read in places like Psalm 42 where it says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? You know, I will yet praise him. Hope thou in the Lord," he said, "for I will yet praise him because he is the light of my countenance." These were moments when he was cast down. Everybody said, "We're going to stone him to death." He encouraged himself in the Lord. Wow. So David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, and said, "I pray thee, bring me for the ephod." So he's going to inquire of the Lord. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop?" Now, that's a good thing. David was always inquiring of the Lord. And sometimes the Lord will say, "Pursue." Sometimes the Lord will say, "Wait, you know, don't pursue yet until you see something going on over here." You know, and so in this case, he said, "Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake them?" See, so it's always a good thing to get direction from the Lord, you know, even in what taking steps for recovery. And he said, "Shall I pursue?" And the Lord answered him and said, "Pursue, for thou shalt overtake them and without fail recover all." So that's where the text from today is coming from, on the subject. Recover all, total recovery. The Lord promised him. So we jump down here. This is a long chapter. I'll just jump to verse 17 and skip all these others and come to verse 17. So David went after them. That's the bottom line. He went after them. And David smote them from the twilight. Twilight is like, you know, even the very first, it's still kind of dark, but the very first sign of daybreak. It's not fully done yet. He smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, rescued his two wives. And there was nothing. Now notice this next few lines. David recovered all. He rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking to them. Excuse me. Neither small nor great. Neither sons nor daughters. Neither spoil nor anything that had been taken. You know, anything they'd taken from them. David recovered all. Glory to God. My goodness. He recovered all. He recovered all. David took all the flocks. I mean, not only did he recover all and then some, you know, he took all the flocks and all the herds, you know, and he said, "This is David's spoil." So he not only got what was taken from him, got it back, he also got some more too, you know. You know, so this is like spoiling the spoiler. David, and he knew how to do that. You know, in fact, he told a story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You can read verses 34 to 37. When it came up against Goliath, everybody was cowering, but not this David. You know, David said, "Look, what is this?" You know, even his brother said, "Well, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be keeping the sheep. You know, we know the pride of your heart. You came out to spy out the fighting and the war and the battle. Go back home. Go to the sheep where you belong." David said, "Look, I don't hear any voice of war. Where is the war at? All I see is a bunch of people hiding in the corners here, you know, and scared people. Where is the war?" And he said, "What's happening?" They said, "Well," they told him. He asked somebody else, "What's happening?" He found out, "What's happening?" And David said, "Why is everybody afraid?" you know, and nobody, and these were trained people, trained, you know, and David was never trained in the art of, you know, military combat, they thought, but he had his own training. He had his own training when he was keeping his sheep. And he said here in verse 34, when Saul told him, you can't go up against Goliath. You don't have any training. I mean, this man is a man of war from his youth. I mean, look at him and look at you. Just a ruddy little youth. And David said, look, don't even worry about that. When I kept my father's sheep, there was a lion that came and took something from me that belonged to me. And I was not going to let him do that on my watch. I went after him and I slew him. And I recovered the kid back into the flock. Likewise, also, there was a bear that came up against me, took one of my flock. I also went after him and slew him and got back that which was mine. My goodness. I mean, this young boy, he wasn't going to give up anything. He's good. Devil takes anything from him, you know, he's going to get it back. I mean, can you get into a fist fight with that lion? I mean, can you get into a fist fight with a bear and then take the prey, you know, take the what's captive, you know, take it from the lion, take it from the bear. Can you do that? Yes, David did it. And he told Saul, look, I have done these things. Every time the enemy came against me to spoil me and to take things from me, I went out against him and I got back, which was mine. Glory to God. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that was even before the story of Ziklag. And so David was used to recovering all. He would not, you know, back down and to anything that the devil stole. He's going to get it. You know, so, and he went against these people that took his stuff at Ziklag, and he got everything back. Glory to God. You know, now, there is also a way that God puts favor upon people to recover things. You know, now, David, we know he was a man of war, so he could do his own through fighting and through fighting back and so on. He wasn't going to back down from anybody. Either the lion or the bear or even Goliath, he was not going to back down. You know, but, you know, that's not the only way to recover all. You know, people can recover all even when they do not have this kind of physical prowess that, you know, David had. But they could have done something that put them in a place and set them up for recovery. I'm going to tell you a story of a woman in the Bible that is called the Shunammite woman. You know, and this is a story that I like to call, you know, paying it forward. There was a woman who always liked to take care of Elisha and so forth, you know. And then, you know, one day, you know, the woman's son died, whom Elisha restored to life, and so on. So, you know, we know that story. That's not my story today, but I want to talk about that woman. In 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. Elisha said unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, he gave her a plan to escape what was coming into the land, because there was coming some severe famine, and Elisha knew it, and he was going to give this woman, who had always been kind to him, you know, even put him up in a place and everything like that. So he said to the woman, arise and go thou and thine household and sojourn wherever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall come upon the land for 7 years. It's going to be very sore, you know. So he kind of gave the woman an advice. Well, the woman had done many things before for him and so forth. And so Elisha is, you know, going to, you know, pay her back by giving her a head start for this famine. And so the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her land and her house, because, you know, she left everything, and maybe it had been repossessed or whatever. I don't know. You know, she lost everything because she ran away because, you know, the man told her, get away from that. Something's coming that you won't be able to survive if you stay here. You know, so, you know, so she went to cry to the king. And the king talked to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. Say, tell me, you know, I pray thee all the great things that Elisha had done. Now, you know, one time I spoke about, you know, divine appointments, even in this room. It's a way that God set things up. When God is fixing to give you a blessing, when God's fixing to do something for you, he causes things to happen and he aligns things perfectly. You know, even the timing of things. And he just does it. There's so many stories in the Bible about that. And here's one also, another one. So the king, all of a sudden, one day, he started, you know, talk to the servant of Elisha and said, look, tell me, you know, I've heard all these great things that this man did. Tell me some of the stories. I want to hear it. You know, so it came to pass as Gehazi was telling the king how that Elisha had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the very woman whose son Elisha had restored to life was just the one that just came to cry out to the... I mean, just imagine that. Imagine the timing of it. We knew the woman was coming. I mean, you know, the woman was coming to cry for, you know, famine was over. She's coming to cry to the king. But why was it that at the very moment that she was going to arrive before the king to come cry to him, why was it that just few moments before that, the king would say to Gehazi, tell me some of the miracles that Elisha had done? And then God will put it, there were many miracles that Elisha had done, but God will put it into the mind of this Gehazi to talk about, especially this one. And as he was saying it, you know, the woman came and began to cry to the Lord. And the guy says, my Lord, king, look, this is the woman that I was just telling you about. You know, God timed it perfectly. I mean, it's amazing. You know, when God wants to put that favor upon you, he times things perfectly. And the favor was already on the woman because of all the things she did. And so the Lord, you know, the Lord just planned that. And so, you know, he said, yeah, this is the woman. And look at her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And the king asked the woman, he said, is it true? And the woman said, yeah. So the king said to that, look, you know, whatever this woman needs, glory to God, you know, said to the officers, I don't care what it is, from the time she left until now, restore all that were hers and all the fruits of the field, you know. They, you know, the government took it over and everything. They planted orchards or whatever there. They get, you know, for, you know, and so forth. And he said, look, everything that land yielded, you know, after the farming was over, all the things that lived there in that land and everything, you know, till this day, restore it to her. Glory to God. From the day she left, even until now, you talk about total recovery. Glory to God, you know. Now, so we see how David, you know, through, you know, his fighting skills and trying to, you know, his faith in God and wouldn't back down from even physical fights, how he recovered things. But look at this woman. She's not doing any physical fighting, but she's going to cry out for her, you know, everything that she lost. For God is going to have a, you know, a favor upon her because she had paid it forward. You know, she had taken care of, you know, she paid it forward. you know, before anything even happened, all of these evil things happened to her. Before she even had a child, she was, you know, kind to the man of God. And even when she had the child, you know, she trusted and said, look, I don't care. You know, he died or whatever. It is well. Saddle me a horse or an ass. Went to the man of God. I know you know the story. And this, even though the son was dead, the son came back to life. You know, so this was the woman, you know, and she got a lot of things from the Lord. You know, just by the favor of God, she got many things, you know, from the Lord. And again here, by God's favor, you know, she's getting something from the Lord. But she paid it forward. Ecclesiastes 11 says, cast thy bread upon the waters. Verse 1. For thou shalt find it after many days. You will even recover that which you gave away. Wow, goodness. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. Because you don't know what evil is going to be upon the earth. You know, God has a way to bring back. You know, when you pay it forward, in other words, you show kindness all your life. You know, even when you have little, you are willing to give it away and help somebody whose situation is even worse. You know, and you do all these things. The Lord knows and he takes care of it. You know, I mean, it takes note of it. And in the day when it matters to you the most, God is going to bring back total recovery for you. This woman, she sold and, you know, paid it forward, not paid back. The Lord is the one that's going to pay her back, but she paid forward the things that she does. She cast her bread, you know, into the life of Elisha. She sowed, she created a room for him. She did all these great things for him. And the time came that God would pay her back. When she lost everything, she got everything back. One time she lost her son, she got it back. One time she lost her land and house and everything for 7 years. And she got it back. And then some. And the Lord, you know, the king said, look, not only her land, not only her house, measure to her, you know, anything that that land could have yielded over the years that she was gone, measure it unto her and give it all to her. Glory to God. You know, so you talk about restoring, God restoring things and having, giving his people the grace to recover all. Isaiah 51, verse 11. I'm going to read some promises quickly here. And we're going to make some declarations. Isaiah 51, verse 11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. That's a song we sing about that. And come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and mourning shall flee away. My goodness, there's coming a season of joy. A season of joy. I'm going to talk about season in a little bit. I'll tell you some things about that. But this season of joy is with God's people. You know, it's with God's people. A man of God once said, look, at the end of the age, my goodness, the elect of God should be laughing in and out of church. As a matter of fact, we'll be reviewing some of his writings in the next couple of hours in another room that we call the review of the reading scrolls by Neil Frisby. We'll be doing that in another room in a couple of hours. But he often said and prophesied that at the last days, the elect of God should be laughing in and out of the church, not having their head bowed. The redeemed of the Lord shall return with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. You read the same thing in Isaiah 35, you know, and verse 10. You know, the Lord will bring back these, you know, joy unto the people of God. The ransom of the Lord shall return. Come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy. Shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Same thing that he said. Now let's read some promises here in Isaiah, 43. And we read verses 18 and 19, which I've already mentioned, sometime today already. But let me just read it out. Isaiah 43 and verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. So God is able to do new things, but he's also able to bring back what you lost. Now, one of the things that the Lord said repeatedly in Joel chapter 2 and 25 is that the Lord is able to restore. Say, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. And I love that. The locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, palmerworm, all of that. Whatever they have eaten and taken from you, I will restore. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. You shall praise the name of the Lord your God that dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. One of the things that the Lord said repeatedly in this text that I'm reading now from Joel chapter 2 is that my people shall never be ashamed. He said it in verse 26. He goes forward into verse 27 and says the same thing. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. He just keeps saying it and saying it and saying it. My people shall never be ashamed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You hang on to that word, it's amazing. You will never be ashamed. Praise God. Here's where we are today. So we're going to be praying, over these things. I may making some declaration, short exhortation this morning, but I want to give opportunity for people to, to share their thoughts. But we're going to talk about full recovery. What is it that you have lost? Let me say this also, that look, there is a way that, you can recover something, but not recover all. Even sometimes healing, may not be full recovery. You may be recovered, but it will still leave a scar. Especially if it's a deep wound or something on the flesh. Though it's healed and everything, it leaves a scar. And the Lord did that for something, for a memorial. So you remember. Even Jesus, he left his scars on his hands and his side, so that one day he can show it to the house of Israel, who always never believed that he was the Messiah. And when they ask him and say, well, where'd you get those wounds? He can say, well, house of my friends. So it's not that he could not eradicate and clear those marks and those wounds and the scars that were left. But he left it there for a sign, and sometimes the scars may remain, but that doesn't mean that you didn't recover at all. He can heal everything. He may leave some scars there, just for you to remember. Or you may have some scars from a few fights. Remember the last two or three rooms ago, we covered battle tested believers. And look, sometimes you come away with a few scars, but you're going to win the fight nonetheless. But today we're talking about recovering all. Glory to God. You lost your job, you recovered it more. You lost your business, you recover it. Whatever you lost, you remember Job, he lost everything. It was like one thing after the other. As if one thing was not enough, as he was there just talking about it, talking and so forth. One person came and said, look, there was, he was bearing bad news. Something has happened, your children, this and that and so forth. After one after the other, I mean, one bad news after another. I mean, this just seems like, my goodness, you know, what are you going to do? His children gather together, you know, just to have fun, you know, hanging out, you know, in their eldest brother's house. And the next thing you know, you know, boom, you know, Satan puts forth his hand after that contest with the Lord. There was a contest about Job. Job was the trophy. And the Lord said, look, my servant Job, have you seen him? You know, nobody like him, a man that loves the Lord, upright in his heart, that cheweth evil and all that. Yeah. Satan said, yeah, of course, because you've given him a hedge of peace and safety around. Why will he not bless you? Let me put forth my hand now and I'll show you, you know, and on and on and on. You know, one man came and said, well, you know, this thing happened and so forth. You know, while he was yet speaking, another one came and said, this thing happened and so forth. While he was speaking, yet another one came. I mean, his family, his sheep, everything was burnt, lost, everything. A great wind came, blew the corners of the house, fell upon the young men. They're dead. You know, I mean, it was just like, look, nobody could handle that. I tell you, nobody could handle what Job went through. You know, but also, we know that the Lord turned his captivity. Glory to God. We fast forward to the very last chapter, you know, of Job, and we see that the Lord said, the Lord turned the captivity of Job in 42, chapter 42 and verse 10. He started to pray for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You know, yes, sons and daughters, many, many things came to him, money and everything that came unto him, all his brethren, his sisters, and all his acquaintance, you know, and so forth, you know, and they gave him everything. He gave him more, you know, and the Lord blessed, look at verse 12, Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. At 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000. I mean, he went through some stuff, you know, my goodness. You know, I don't pray that anybody should ever go through that, you know, but God gave him 7 sons, 3 daughters, and so on, you know. I mean, my goodness, God just brought back all kinds of things into his life. So what's your story today? What is it that you need to recover? And let me say something also about the Lord. The Lord, we don't call him Redeemer for nothing. The Lord says, you know, people think of Redeemer as, you know, our Savior. And he is our Savior. But I tell you what, there is more that he can redeem. He's called the Kinsman Redeemer. You know, he can redeem what's lost. He can buy it back for you. That's why he's called Redeemer. And not only that, even in the scripture admonishes us to redeem the time for the days are evil. The Lord can redeem time for you when you give time to him. It's amazing. You know, I'm not going to tell some of those stories today. Maybe some other room I will do it. And I'll just tell you how, you know, God has redeemed time for me over and over again, you know, because of paying it forward. You know what I mean? The time you spend in these rooms in the morning like this, you know, when you come with an open heart and just soak in the Lord, not worry about anything. Just give, you know, ear to, you know, the Lord and put your heart out there for him, you know, to be his throne and everything. You know, you can spend an hour or so in this room and God can redeem that time for you during the day. Something that would take you 3 hours later on. You get it done in 30 minutes. I've seen it happen many times. He's called a redeemer. You know, something that you've lost, he get it back for you. He's called the King's Man Redeemer too. You know that story. I'm not going into that one today. But, you know, today we want to recover all. Want to recover all in the name of the Lord Jesus today. And we want to pray, make this declaration. We want to come, but we want to, I'm going to give a chance for people to speak before we pray today. I'm doing a little bit different. You know, before we pray today, I'm going to ask you to speak. Give your reaction to this, sharing this morning, right? And also add value. And we're going to pray together. And we're going to, I have a couple more things also that I want to declare. But I'm going to do it in a little bit. You know, so, but right now, first of all, I want you to just, wherever you are, just lift up your hands and praise the name of the Lord. Because the Lord is that Redeemer. You know, the book of Ruth is called the Kinsman Redeemer. He's able to redeem back everything that was lost there. And got it back too. You know, so everything that we've lost, what is it that you lost? Even the years, can't count them, the months, the weeks, the struggle and everything. There is an anointing today, you know, to recover all. Yes. And the Holy Spirit just reminded me, said, you say you're going to speak about season. And I almost forgot. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, so let me talk about season. Season. You know, the Bible used to say, and you know, at a certain season, and I'm going to tell you two sides of the coin for that season. There's a story in John chapter 5. The man, 38 years of infirmity, who, you know, came to the water at the stirring of the pool at a certain season. The Bible said that at a certain season, there was an angel that came and stirred the pool. And whosoever then first entering into the pool after the stirring of the water by the angel was healed of whatsoever disease or infirmity he had. You know, and this happened year after year. There was a certain season that the Lord appointed. You know, and we know that the book of Ecclesiastes talks about times and seasons. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he tells us about there is a time for everything. Everything. There is a season. He said, to everything, there is a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to born, to be born, and a time to die for most people. Also a time to be translated, you know, for the rest of us that shall be alive and be caught up. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. So if you've wept, you will also laugh. A time to mourn. If you have mourned, you will also dance. And a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. To say, no, that's not for me. And a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace. And a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get. And a time to lose. You know, well, unfortunately, these are the stories of life. A time to keep. And a time to cast away. A time to rent. And a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace, all that. And it just goes on and on and on and on. Well, a certain season. The seasons are for the benefit of man, never for God. God has no seasons. He's always just the same. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13 and 8, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He has no seasons. He has no seasons. But because of us, you know, the mercies of God, especially in the days when people are not believing that angel will come, you know, and just because of his mercy, once in a while, he will stir up the pool and so forth like that. Just the mercy of God, you know, in certain seasons. No, you know, God is not seasonal God. You can have this blessing all the time. So that's the second side of the coin that I wanted, the coin that I wanted to talk about. You know, because, you know, oftentimes we talk about season. And yes, we do have seasons. And there's seasons of ups and downs. We have mountains, we have valleys. Paul himself said, look, I'm persuaded that neither height nor depth. So there's times you'll be up, the times you'll be down. We know that. But the reason that all of that happens is not from God. God is not an up and down kind of God. You know, in fact, his word is yea and amen. There is never, you know, any shadow of variableness with him. No shadow of turning, you know, no shadow of turning and no variableness with him. So when we think of seasons, you know, you should think of it only in our own terms, you know, because that's not with God. You know, if at any time, you know, you can believe God, then you don't need to worry about, you know, waiting for a certain season. You can read James chapter 1 and verse 17, and it will tell you that, you know, our God is not a God of, you know, ups and downs and this and that. You know, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I like to call that mood swings. You know, we have shadow of turning as human beings. You know, it's mood swings. One day you are in a good mood. The next day you are not. One day you are on cloud nine, as they say. Next day you are down in doldrums, you know, and up and down. That's not God. That's just us. And when God pulls out these seasons, it's just for his mercy, mercy's sake for us. You know, when God says, look, at a certain season, even what he said, you know, look, you know, but there is a season too when the Lord says it is enough. You know, but he's already said that at the cross. He said it is finished. You know, so, but there was a season in the life of the, you know, the children of Israel. For 400 years and more, they were in bondage. And then at a point in time, God said, look, it is enough. I have, you know, seen their affliction all these years, and now I have heard their cry. It's time. God said that. You know, and we know also that God said that, look, it is time, and we've been talking about it in this room, the time to favor his people has come. Glory to God. You know, the time to favor Zion. It is here. It is the time of blessing. There is a blessing that God has appointed. And he has appointed it, you know, for us. But I want to tell you this, that if we know how to get a hold of God, you know, you can, even when it's not time, you can pierce the veil. That's the second part of what I want to talk about today. You can pierce that veil, because we've seen many people in the Bible that did that. David did that. And just Jesus himself told the story in Mark chapter 2. He said, look, have you not heard, you know, what, you know, David did in the days of Abiathar the priest? I went to the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat. And not only did he eat it, he also gave it to people that were with him. You know, so because they were, you know, telling him, you can't do these things, you know, and Jesus told them, read it in Mark chapter 2 and read from, you know, verses 25. To about 26, you will see the testimony that Jesus gave about David. So David pierced the veil. You know, the veil that said, you can't go in there and eat that bread. You know, we've seen the story, you know, of the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15. That would, you know, they said, look, I can't take these things and give to, you know, give it to, you know, dog or whatever. You know, Jesus said, look, Matthew 15 and verse 26 say, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Well, maybe not. But the lady, she pierced the veil. Because prior to that, verse 24, Jesus had told her, I am not sent but unto the lost house of the sheep of Israel, or the lost sheep of the house of Israel, sorry. You know, because so it wasn't time for her to get anything. Jesus didn't come for, you know, the Greeks at that time. He said, I came for the house of Israel. But Jesus was giving us a view here into how you can pierce the veil. And don't let this season thing keep you back. We use it only because that's what people say. But for God, it doesn't matter. Whether it's your time or not your time, quote unquote, if you have the right kind of faith and the right attitude towards God, you can pierce. This woman pierced the veil. She would not turn loose. The Lord said a few things that could have run her off, but she said no. You know, even if it were a dog, even the dog will eat the crumbs from their table. And Jesus said, wow, great is thy faith. Now, it's not oftentimes that Jesus calls any faith great. Most of the time, he rebuked them for having little faith. You know, but this woman and the centurion, some of them had great faith. And Jesus was impressed. He said, wow, great is thy faith. Be it unto you as thou wilt. She pierced the veil. She didn't, you know, it didn't matter whether it, you know, it said it's not time for you to have it. So, you know, so I want to bring completeness to this message this morning. Even though we are talking of a season for you to get your recovery and your restoration. Yes, it is your season. But listen, any time that you can come back into your own, you know, you can get that. You can get it. You know, it's like the story of the prodigal son, you know. Even though he brought all these things upon himself, but at some point, the Bible says that in Luke 15 and 17, that he came to himself. He came to his senses. He said, look, listen, what am I doing here? Just languishing away, you know, enough already, you know. So anytime that we can do that and say, look, I will now arise and will go to my Father. My goodness. You know, you can do it. There's a story. One last thing I will tell you about seasons, just to show you that Jesus doesn't care about all these seasons that we talk about. Yes, for our benefit. We say it this way. We couch it this way, you know, because if you've been going through things, then we use the word the season of this and the season of that to, you know, help you jump into it and get out of it, you know. But with God, you can do that anytime. There's this story in Mark 11, which most people knew. But Jesus, you know, passing, you know, through that place near close to Bethany and so forth. You know, the story went that, you know, when he saw the fig tree, he came near the fig tree, you know, to see if there were any fruit. You know, but I read it from Mark 11, verse 13. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything on it. And he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time or season of figs was not yet. It wasn't yet the season. Come on, Jesus. It's not yet the season. Don't blame the tree. You know, don't blame the tree. It's not yet the season for figs. I mean, you know, just hold on now. When it is the season, the figs will come out. Jesus came there. He's the master of every day. He's the master of all seasons. Doesn't matter to him whether it's one season or no season. He wants fruit all the time. So he came there. And this is to tell you that Jesus is not bound by seasons. You know, he put this story, he allowed this thing to happen in the presence of the disciples so we can learn many things. People always talk about the faith part of it, you know, how he said to them later on, you know, if you have faith and say to this and say to that. Yeah, but this is another lesson that he's telling us here, that he is not a God of seasons up and down like that. When he comes, you know, you better be producing. He came to this fig tree, And the commentary said, look, it's not yet time for figs. So come on, you know. But Jesus said, got there because the tree had the appearance. You know, this was the other thing too. You know, if the tree had looked dead from afar off, Jesus wouldn't have bothered. But the tree had leaves, they were green. Some of the leaves bunched together. It looked like it got something going. But it had nothing going. At least nothing that the master cared about at that point in time. You know, so sometimes that's a lesson for us too. Sometimes we are busy doing all these other things, but not the thing that the master cares about. So the one thing that the master cared about in this case, this tree was good. I mean, it was providing, you know, shade. It was providing a lodging for the birds of the air and all kinds of things. I mean, providing decoration or whatever it was doing. But the one thing that the master wanted, he wasn't doing it. So when Jesus got there, I said, that's it. You're done. Nobody will eat fruit of you anymore. And that tells you that Jesus is not a seasonal God. One season or no season. Every season or every time, you know, the season is for our benefit. So even though we are talking about the season of your total recovery, which is now, yeah, it is now because it's time for God to favor you. But I want you to also remember that in season and out of season, there's such a thing called, and I will be dealing with that in one of these rooms, you know, shortly. You know, there's such a thing that's called out of season blessings. I'm going to be talking about that. You know, so whether in season or not in season, it doesn't matter to the Lord. But I say this today, that blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law doth he meditate day and night. Shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. Always. That thing is always in season because it has constant supply right by the river. And there is a river, the streams thereof, whereof shall make glad the house of God. There is something when you are connected to the source. This tree is connected to the source. And his season is constant. His leaves shall not wither. Doesn't have any, you know, we have these four seasons, the fall, all the trees, all the leaves fall off here in the U.S. In the winter, it's completely dead. And then in the spring, it starts to grow back again. In the summer, it's fully flourishing. No, this tree, because it's connected to the source, it's right by the rivers of water, right there. He doesn't lose his season. His leaves shall not wither. He has no winter. He has no fall. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, he's always flourishing. You know, and they that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, this is our admonition today. Yes, indeed. You know, it is the time of your total recovery. But it is time, my declaration today, and I will do it in a little bit for you, will be not only now, but that you will be in that season. You know, anytime that you feel that you let something go that you should not let go, come right back to the Lord and go for it. Hallelujah. And he'll give it back to you. At the beginning of this year, I was speaking in our local church here in Arizona, and the Lord gave me some things to tell all of us, myself included. A couple of those things were like, look, you got to go for it. You know, when you have the ball in your hands, you know, and the shooting clock is winding down, you got to take the shot. You know, I love to watch basketball, so that analogy is from that. If you don't take the shot, you know, you won't know if you would have made it. And they say, well, what if you miss it? And then everybody's looking at you and you lost the game, you know. But what if you make it, you know? So instead of thinking, what if you lose it? Why don't you think, what if you make it? You know, so, but if you don't take the shot, then you've already missed the shot. So every shot, I told the people, I said, every shot you pass up this year is a shot you already missed because you didn't take it. You got to take the shot. You know, there are some things that it looks like a chance. It looks like, no, but it's a step of faith. You got to take a step of faith. You got to step out of the boat, but you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't step out of the boat and then start looking around and then you see the waves were boisterous. The waves were boisterous the whole time. It wasn't just because you came out that made the waves to be boisterous. The waves were already like that, you know. But when you kept your eyes on the Lord, you were walking straight to the Lord. When you began to look around and say, you know, then you see the waves say, I can't walk on water. Then you start to drown. No, keep your eyes on the Lord when you step out in faith. So you got to step out in faith, but you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. So that's what we're talking about today, folks, that indeed it is your season right now. Because the Lord, you know, he has promised it. But when we are here in this season, you know, let it be a continuous blessing, you know, for you. You know, don't go in and out of a season, you know, of joy. You know, this is the time to favor Zion. And once the favor of God, you know, once we have it, let's stay in that favor. When you are on a roll, that's the way I like to put it. When you are on a roll with God, you know, don't turn loose, you know. Just keep on believing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when God says it is time, you just say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. That's right. Be it unto me according to your word. You know, and that's all you need to do. And if you are struggling, if you are struggling with anything that the Lord has promised and you can't truly believe it, then all you got to do is, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. It's similar to how, you know, the psalmist said in Psalm 110, thy people, verse 3, shall be willing in the day of thy power. Well, you know, if you are not truly willing, then it's time for you to say, Lord, I am willing. Make me willing. And last, let's read this verse, and then we're going to, I'm going to turn it over for some comments, and then we're going to pray. Psalm 102. I want to read verses 13 through about maybe 16 or so. We're going to talk about the time. We are in the time. You know, but I remember, I've also given you this secret that that time can be now. Any day, it can be now. Because faith is now. Faith is not tomorrow. Faith is now. Jesus said it himself. He said, when you pray, you know, what things soever you desire, when you pray. You know, so we see that, you know, faith is now, at the time that you pray. Now, the answer may be later, but at the time you pray, that's when faith is. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe, and then you shall, you know, so shall may be whatever time, but at the time that you pray, at the time you connect, reconnect, either you connect with the source or you reconnect with the source, is when you believe. Psalm 102, verse 13. Thou shalt arise, O God, and have mercy upon Zion. Well, put your name there. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Glory to God. The Lord shall build up Zion. Verse 16. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. So that also tells us we're very close to the end, because God is bringing back a time of blessing to his people. And then he's ready to appear, return in his glory. What we've been sharing today on this topic of a time of total recovery and how God can bring this back to you, whatever it is you lost. We've told the story of David at Ziklag, how he recovered all. We've told the story of David, how he recovered what the lion took, what the bear took. He didn't give nothing up. He got it all back. We've told the story of the Shunammite woman who lost everything. 7 years, you know. But when she came, she found favor in the eyes of not only God, but also favor in the eyes of the king. She recovered all. We've told many stories here today from the Bible. So now, and we have proved from the word of God that it can be your season anytime. Even though we use the word season up and down, and it is indeed a season right now. You know, once you enter into this season, you can stay in the season. That's the message that I'm trying to convey. Stay in the season, because Jesus, with him, there's no variableness and there's no shadow of turning. And God bless everyone. Good morning. I welcome everyone that's in the room.